Welcome along to this week's Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined this week by Dan Childs and Tom McGarry to look ahead to this weekend's domestic action, including, of course, the FA Cup final at Wembley between Crystal Palace and Manchester City. Before we get into this weekend's action, though, we have had a very entertaining midweek of Championship playoff action. Dan, we'll start with you, and we have to start with that game at the Stadium of Light with that unbelievable ending between Sunderland and Coventry. What did you make of it?
I felt a bit sorry for Coventry, I've got to say. I thought, up until really the second period of extra time, I absolutely, away from home, dominated the game, were taking the game to Sunderland, deservedly got themselves in front. They looked like they just kind of ran out of steam in the second period of extra time. Sunderland deserve credit for kind of hanging in there, but I watched both legs, and Sunderland really defended, you know, and played in the counter attack for the first leg at Coventry, which maybe you kind of expect. And they did the same thing again at home, really I only had control for probably 15 minutes of the second period of extra time, and sneaked the way through. What I would say, that the player that got the winning goal, he was outstanding over the course of both legs. Just come back from injury in time for the playoffs, Dan Ballard, and was superb defensively in the first leg, and then, you know, came up with that header, you know, that clinched it for them. So, hard luck on Coventry, I'd say, not making it.
Yeah, I know some Sunderland fans are already calling for a statue for Dan Ballard after that goal in the extra time. Dan called it, Tom, in terms of Sheffield United just being too strong for Bristol City. I don't think I've seen a playoff semi-final at Championship level that comfortable.
Yeah, they were dominant, weren't they? There was a huge class difference between the two sides. I mean, Sheffield United had done all their work, hadn't they, in that first leg, winning 3-0. Yes, it was half of Bristol City when they went down to 10 men, but for me, Sheffield United was so comfortable in that game. It'll be a different story at Wembley, a one-off match against Sunderland. I kind of agree with Dan. I mean, Coventry, for the most part of that entire tie, were the better, more enterprising team, if you like, looking to win their game. But in that final 15 minutes of extra time the other night, I think the Sunderland support at the Stadium of Light really galvanised their side, and they pushed on, and it was a superb header from Dan Ballard. The way he stooped to kind of find that top corner, absolutely sensational. As Dan mentioned, he was fantastic over the course of the tie. He headed everything out of his own penalty area, blocked every shot just about, and then, yeah, maybe fitting that he was the man to score the winning goal. And I suppose, from a neutral point of view, we probably wanted to see penalties, the drama of that, but the way the game finished with that header in the 122nd minute, it provided plenty of drama of its own.
It did. Dan, you were pretty hot on Sheffield United overall last week. Are you still edging with them in the final?
Based on what I've seen, I think, you know, I've seen no reason really to veer off of them. I mean, Sunderland pose your problems in, you know, when they kind of play in that low block, they can be hard to get through, and they got threats on the counter. I would just mention Romain Mundell. He made a difference when he came on as well. He's been another player that's been out injured, and he came on and gave him a bit of impetus. So, and he'll probably, you know, he'll have some more training under his legs, maybe even be ready to start at Wembley, who knows. But so that will cause Sheffield United a problem or two. But Sheffield United have been so good, you know, consistent for the whole season. Gathered 92 points, didn't they? The points deduction of 2 points put them down to 90. But that's a great haul for a team that didn't go up automatic, and they've kicked on in the playoffs. So, Sheffield United would be my selection at the moment.
So the Championship final to be played at Wembley, of course, but not before the FA Cup final, which is our big match of the week here on The Assist. It is Crystal Palace against Manchester City, Saturday at 4:30. For us traditionalists, it's a bit of a random kickoff time. But in terms of the prices, Palace 7-2 to claim the victory in 90 minutes. Manchester City 3-4 and the draw 29-10. Tom, Palace hoping it's going to be third time lucky, and got to give them a real strong chance here, especially if you go off recent form.
I think you do. I mean, if we've been looking at this, and you said at the start of the season this would be the FA Cup final, you'd probably be thinking, oh yeah, it's a routine Manchester City victory, maybe not quite the 6-0 they had against Watford a few seasons ago, but you'd expect City to win. But fast forward to now, Palace have had a fantastic second half of the season. They're scoring goals, they've got real attacking threats. Eberechi Eze, of course, is 5 in his last 4 games. Jean-Philippe Mateta continues to catch the eye under Oliver Glasner. And yeah, Palace can come into this game full of confidence and belief that they're not just in it to make up the numbers, that they can land what will be their first major piece of silverware. I mean, City, yes, they have improved over recent months after that dreadful autumn and early winter period. But as we saw in last week's goalless draw with Southampton, there's still flaws in Pep Guardiola's side. They're not back to their rip-roaring best. So, yeah, Palace will believe heading into this. City have to start as favourites with their experience, their know-how and their willing mentality. But you give Palace more than a puncher's chance.
Dan, how do you look upon last week's Manchester City result at Southampton in terms of having an impact on the final?
I think they probably went into that game maybe a little bit thinking it was going to be easier than it was, and didn't really get going. Doku came on, didn't he? Gave him a bit more impetus, Savinho, and they pushed, didn't they, second half, and probably should have won the game in the end. But I don't think it'll. I'm sure they'll be more focused and intense from the start in the FA Cup final. But they are facing, you know, as Tom said, a very strong opponent, and Palace have only lost four of the last 24 games in all competitions. I mean, that is, just shows you how much they've improved in the kind of second half of the season. They look quite solid at the back at times with Gerhi there anchoring it, and they've got big threats in attack. City in the game at the semi-final against Forest, they got the early goal and, looks comfortable, didn't it? A 2-0 win, but Forest did have the chances in that game. It hit the woodwork three times, so it wasn't totally straightforward, that game for City, and I doubt the final will be straightforward either.
We've talked throughout the season, Tom, about Erling Haaland and the impact he has when he's not necessarily scoring the goals that he has done, of course, over the first couple of seasons for Manchester City. Unbelievable stat that I read this week, actually. I didn't realise that he's played five times at Wembley and never scored. And, of course, he came back into the squad last week at Southampton and they hit a blank there. And I just wonder whether Pep Guardiola's got a big decision to make.
Yeah, it's an amazing stat, that Wembley one regarding Haaland. I think he will start on Saturday. I think, the game against Southampton, yes, he looked a little bit rusty, but he got the full 90 minutes under his belt, and that will probably help him in the short to medium term heading into this game. In general, I don't like to criticise Pep Guardiola, but I'm not sure about that starting lineup he fielded against Southampton. It had a lack of pace in James McAtee and Phil Foden in the wide areas, and they only started to click slightly into gear when they brought Jeremy Doku on in the second half, as Dan mentioned. I think Doku, Marmoush, who came on to hit the crossbar in that game as well, Savinho potentially will start. So there'll be more pace and variety to City's attack, and that should help Erling Haaland. I mean, he's been out for, was it seven games he missed before returning for the Southampton one, so he'll be desperate to impress. I read earlier this week that he's quite bored by City's season the way it's panned out, so he might have a point to prove heading into this game. I mean, you can never say a player of Erling Haaland's goal-scoring ability that he weakens a side when he's in the starting 11.
No, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him start, like you say, on Saturday. Dan, just before we get the tips from both you and Tom, just a quick word as well on Palace. I mean, I watched their game against Tottenham last week, and I was quite surprised that they picked as strong a side as they did. But obviously, Oliver Glasner just wanted that recent good form to continue in going into the final.
Yeah, and in the game before they played Villa in the semi-final, he picked made a few changes, but picked quite a strong team against Arsenal as well, and they picked up a draw there. So they're kind of taking the view of not wrapping players so much up in cotton wool, maintaining the intensity and the performance level, and they've got through without picking up serious injuries. Adam Wharton's he's a bit of a doubt for the final, but the talk is that they're expecting him to be okay for the final. That'll be a key for Palace, whether he starts or whether he doesn't. But no, I think they look in very good shape to give Manchester City a good game.
Yeah, we've had some low scoring FA Cup finals of late, but a positivity in terms of the neutrals is that there's been 11 goals between the two sides in the two league meetings this season. Will there be more goals, I wonder? Tom, where are you looking here in terms of your best FA Cup final bet?
I think there will be goals. I've gone for over 2.5 and both teams to score in the match, which is odds against. As you mentioned, the 2-2 at Selhurst Park earlier in the season between the two sides, and then that thrilling 5-2 at the Etihad last month when City came from 2-0 down to win 5-2. Palace, though, could have been 3-0 up in that game before City got back into it. Across the last four meetings between the sides, 21 goals have been scored. So they tend to throw up entertaining matches. And you mentioned, and it's true, you know, cup finals in general can be cagey, can be low scoring. The last two FA Cup finals, though, both involving City against Manchester United, have finished 2-1, which would make over 2.5 goals and both teams to score a winning bet. And, you know, Palace, they've scored in 22 of their last 24 matches across all competitions as well. Dan mentioned that they're hard to beat. They score goals as well, tend to entertain. And against a still quite brittle-looking City defence, to me, I think they can get on the score sheet at least once, and then City should be able to do likewise. We mentioned Haaland. He's had 90 minutes under his belt after injury. The players we discussed earlier, Doku, Savinho, Marmoush, all potentially coming into the starting 11. So, yeah, I'm hoping for an entertaining game where both sides contribute.
How about you, Dan? How do you see it going?
I think Palace are overpriced. I'm gonna go with the way I'm gonna get with them would be Palace drawn, I bet. You know, taking out extra time. I'll explain that the reason and in for that a little bit later. The reason I think that Palace are overpriced. I just think you look at that Villa semi-final, the way they played there at Wembley. I don't think you mentioned about experience earlier. City having the experience edge, being at Wembley more times, but for Palace to go there to Wembley and play that well against Aston Villa, the 3-0 win, they look completely at home there. I think if this had been, say, you know, the League Cup final, where you don't have to play at Wembley beforehand and the experience is kind of new, then you give City that experience advantage, a big edge, but not in this case. That game that was mentioned, the 5-2, I would just, you know, mention that Palace didn't have Mark Guéhi in that match, so they've gone 2-0 up and they didn't really have the defensive wherewithal to kind of, you know, to resist probably against City. Going to be different, you know, with Guéhi in the side at Wembley. And I'll just say the reason I'm going to go draw no bet is because City have definitely got a stronger bench. So if your game goes towards extra time, you're looking at, you know, Mateta came off towards the end of the Villa game, and Nketiah comes on for him. You might have a situation where Eze or Sarr goes off, and maybe Romain Eze, you know, the raw player they got from Millwall, comes on. So if it goes to extra time, I think you'd rather maybe have your money back than be relying on that Palace team to see the job through. But in terms of the 90 minutes, I just think Palace are overpriced. As I mentioned, City in the Forest game, they kind of rode their luck at times. I think Palace are certainly playing better than Forest have been in recent weeks. They'll be tougher opponents and every chance they could win the cup.
Well, in theory, it looks like it will be an entertaining FA Cup final one way or another. Saturday at 4:30 then for Crystal Palace against Manchester City. And because of the FA Cup final, we don't have any Premier League games on Saturday. So there are two on Friday and no fewer than five on Sunday, with a Monday night game to look forward to as well. And we'll start off by looking ahead to the 7:30 kickoff on Friday evening, as Aston Villa play host to Tottenham. Villa 4-11 to win the game, Spurs 11-2, and the draw is 9-2. Dan, understandably, Tottenham will have not one, but both eyes on the Europa League final going into this game. Is it going to be as straightforward as the odds suggest for Villa?
I think so, yes. I mean, you can, when you're reading them prices out, you kind of think, you know, wow, that's, you know, in other circumstances, you think that is incredibly short. But no, it is probably fair enough. I mean, if Ange Postecoglou was in any doubts about what team he was going to be putting out, the fact that with that probably one of the few players that he kept in the side from the Bodo Glimt second leg, Dejan Kulusevski, he goes and gets injured after 15 minutes when he starts him, and he's now ruled out of the Europa League final. He's lost Maddison, he's lost Kulusevski, he's going to be loath to lose any more big players. I just think that, and in a game where Villa, it's such a big game for Villa, you know, in terms of to get in the top five and get in the Champions League, they're not going to be holding back, are they, in the tackle? So I can see it being virtually a Spurs reserve side, and as we've seen recently, I mean, you know, they made a lot of changes at home to Crystal Palace. Palace won 2-0, were worthy winners in that game, even with a cup final on the horizon. Don't see Villa having too many troubles. What I would say is, recently they've not been scoring bundles of goals, have they? You had the 1-0 at home to Fulham, the 1-0 that they dug out away to Bournemouth last weekend. So maybe it won't be massively high scoring. Villa will just be, you know, focused. Their goal difference is nowhere near as good as the teams around them. They're just going to be focused on getting the 3 points. So I'm going to go on the bet Villa and under 4.5 goals just to boost the price. I think that's around evens.
Tom, it's hard to make a case for Spurs, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, yeah, 9-2, you're looking at that. It almost tempts you into thinking Tottenham might win, but almost is the operative word there. You can't really go against Villa. We've been in really good form as well, grinding out results. We've had back-to-back 1-0 victories over Fulham and Bournemouth, and you can see something similar playing out. Villa need the win. They want to finish in the top five, get back into the Champions League. They're level on points with Chelsea heading into this weekend's action. And yeah, they just should have too much for this Tottenham side, who they've completely just forgotten about the Premier League, haven't they? I mean, we're trying to make something of it, the race not to finish 17th or anything like that. But for Spurs, it's all about the Europa League. You look at the stats, it's 1-10 in the league for them. That came against Southampton. They've taken 1 point from the last 15 available away from home and not won on their travels in the league since February. And Dan mentioned the Palace defeat last week. That could have been by a bigger scoreline in all truth. They drew with West Ham before that, another team that had very little to play for. The words I'd use for those two games are low-key. And I think this might be another pretty low-key game where Villa just do enough, do what they have to do, grind out the victory. And if they go 1-0 up early in the match, do we think Tottenham have the fight and desire necessarily to try and force their way back into it with that Europa League final on the horizon? I have my doubts. So I've gone on a very similar line to Dan. I don't know how you want to tell it. Slightly more negative, if you like, because I've gone for Villa and under 3.5 goals rather than under 4.5. For me, Villa, a very comfortable evening.
Could be a similar story in the late game at Stamford Bridge. It's an 8:15 kickoff for Chelsea against Manchester United on Friday. Chelsea also 4-11. Manchester United as big as 6-1 here, and the draw is 17-4. Is it going to be a bit of deja vu from the earlier kickoff, Tom?
It's just the same game, isn't it? In a different stadium with different strips. Home team need the win to get into to keep their Champions League hopes ticking along nicely. And the away side aren't thinking about the Premier League. They're looking ahead to a European final. So yeah, you've got to fancy Chelsea in this game. They had won 5 in a row before that defeat at Newcastle last time out, where they were poor in the first half. But ironically enough, after they went down to 10 men with Nicholas Jackson sent off, they improved and were probably the better side in the second 45. Their home record strong, unbeaten in 9 Premier League matches at Stamford Bridge. That run dates back to Boxing Day. They've won 7 of those, and you know, Man United poor on their travels, 1 point from the last 4 in the Premier League. So yeah, Chelsea to win for me, but I'm looking for a bit of a value bet for this one, and I've gone with Chelsea to win 1-0. 3 of their last 4 home Premier League victories have been by that scoreline. They're still not the free-flowing scoring side they were over the first half of the season. I mean, Jackson suspended now, Cole Palmer's not quite back to his best, and you know, you just think they may have to grind this one out a little bit. I know Manchester United have all their problems and things like that, but yeah, Chelsea to win 1-0 and just about do enough to keep the top five battle or the top five destination in their own hands.
Another home win here, do you think, Dan?
I think so, yeah. I mean, just trying to work out how to you know, to get some juice out of the price. I think I would go Chelsea to win 2-0. It's an odds against bet. I think the one worry if you're a Chelsea fan is they're not overloaded with a lot of attacking options. You've got Jackson, as has been mentioned, suspended. Jaden Sancho, who's been quite, you know, influential during his loan, he's ineligible to, you know, to face his parent club. And Nkunku, I think, is injured. So there's you're digging deeper and deeper. There's not tons of attacking options there to choose from. Now, the other side in their favour, they're going to be a bit like Villa against Spurs. They're going to be playing with a lot more intensity, I would imagine, than Manchester United. United are going to be making a lot of changes. Bruno Fernandes tends to play all the time, but I'm not sure he'll start this game. I mean, Man United are sort of trying to pretend that the league is still more important. They've downgraded the, you know, if they win the Europa, they're going to have a barbecue instead of a parade. But I don't buy any of it. This is absolutely, the Europa League is absolutely massive to Man United. If they win it, it will save their season. You know, country, whatever Amrim is saying, it's huge for them. They're not going to be wanting to put any of that at risk. So expect a lot of changes, including Fernandes. That will make Chelsea's task easier. But I don't see Chelsea running up a big score.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to Sunday's fixtures now, which could well be a little bit more even after what we've said about Friday's games. The 12 noon kickoff is the big farewell to Goodison Park for Everton, who play their final senior men's game there, although we hear this week that the ground will stay in one piece as the Everton ladies will use it from next season. Everton play host to Southampton in their final home game. Everton 21-50 to claim the victory. Southampton 6-1 and the draw 15-4. The sceptical Evertonians, Dan, would say it would just be like Everton to lose to Southampton in the final game at Goodison Park, but surely the end on a high note.
Oh, I think they will, yeah. And they've been very good, haven't they, since David Moyes has gone back there for his second spell. A lot of draws in there, but very difficult team to beat. You know, a little bit of a... Not a wobble really recently, because even like, you know, you look at the defeat at Chelsea when they didn't have Tarkowski and lost 1-0, still competed very well against a team pushing for top five. And then they've got a good win at Fulham, haven't they, last weekend? So the squad looks, you know, nice and healthy. Calvert-Lewin, I noticed, came off the bench at Craven Cottage. So, I just think that, you know, it is... I know the ground now is going to be used by the Everton women, but it's the last men's game there. It's going to be a massive deal, massive occasion. They're going to be right up for it. And Southampton, they kind of rode their luck, got that, scraped that 0-0 against City that avoided, you know, they got them above the Derby 11-point, you know, record that nobody wants. But they've been a really poor side this season. Lowest scores in the league, only 25 goals scored in the Prem. Doubt they'll score here. So I'm going to go with... a comfortable Everton win. Everton and under 3.5 goals, odds against, looks a decent bet to me.
I've heard that Southampton game against City being described as a 0-0 win for Saints, but certainly no longer have they got that target to battle against Derby's 11-point total. It will be emotional, Tom, for everybody at Goodison Park on Sunday. I suppose that adds that little bit of extra pressure to the players out there on the pitch.
It does, and there might be a situation if it is still 0-0, if a match is going similar to the Southampton City game last week, that in the last 20, 25 minutes or so, one or two nerves might start to settle in. But the good news for Everton is that Southampton got to that 12-point mark last week, and you know that's all they really had to play for, making sure they bettered Derby's total. They've done that, and you know they're going to finish bottom regardless of what happens in the final two rounds of fixtures. So there's not much left for these Southampton players to play for. So it's an ideal fixture for Everton in their final men's match at Goodison. As Dan mentioned, they're hard to beat. They've not won that many games recently. Not won any of the last six at home. But their last victory was against one of the relegated sides, Leicester, where they tore them apart at the start of February. I don't think it'll be quite that expansive. Southampton at least showed defensive resilience last weekend against City, but I'd expect Everton to win. And again, looking at similar lines to Dan, I've gone Everton and under 2.5 goals.
Okay, well, the 2:15 kickoff on Sunday is at the London Stadium, where West Ham take on Nottingham Forest. We should say and send our best to Taiwo Awoniyi, who has had some real issues this week, of course, following that really horrific-looking clash with the post last week in the draw with Leicester, and hopefully he's on the road to recovery shortly. Forest will have to try and get back on track, of course, in their attempts to get a place in the Champions League next season. The Hammers are 7-4 to win this game, with Forest 31-20 and the draw 23-10. It's a big ask now for Forest. All of a sudden, Tom, the bigger clubs that you would expect to be up and around the top six have now started to hit their form.
Yeah, and the pressure could be really on them if, as we expect, Chelsea and Aston Villa both win on Friday night. Forest will have to go all out for the victory in this game. And their form, it just isn't there. It's tailed off, whether the fatigue is set in, one or two injuries have started to take their toll. But you know, they're now winning four and only won one of their last seven across all competitions. That, you know, they've still shown spirit. They've ground out draws. Well, they've ground a decent draw against Crystal Palace, and then maybe disappointingly drew with Leicester a last time out. And this is a favourable fixture against a poor West Ham side who did beat Manchester United away in their last fixture, but their home form is pretty poor. They struggle for wins at the London Stadium. Only the bottom three have a worse home record across the season than West Ham. So it's a favourable fixture for Forest, but I can't see them winning it. I think it's going to be a disappointing draw for them. West Ham's last three home games have finished all square. As I mentioned, Forest have drew their previous two games against Palace and Leicester, and I think it could be more of the same, and that could really leave Forest's Champions League hopes, if not being extinguished, they'll be hanging by a thread.
Do you think that draw against Leicester last week, Dan, has kind of popped the bubble for Forest, or do we think that they've still got some fight left in them?
No, I think that's going to be, they're going to look back on that as the moment when it all, you know, disappeared for them. If they'd have won that game, you go above Chelsea and you've got Chelsea at home, don't forget, last day of the season. So whatever would have happened this weekend, you'd still have gone into that game with a chance of getting above Chelsea. So it was a huge 2 points dropped, you know, against the, you know, there's no love lost between Forest and Leicester as well. So that would have made it even harder to take. And it just does feel like they've, this sounds really harsh because they've had an unbelievable season, but it does feel like they're bottling it a little bit in the running here. I mean, that was you couldn't have asked for much of a better running that they've had. They've had some really favourable fixtures. Even the Palace away game, with Palace having a cup final round the corner, still a good chance to go and win a game there. They've only took a point. And West Ham, they've been poor. You know, they've struggled generally under Potter, but I just think this is quite a big game, actually, for West Ham. We're talking about, you know, the season meandering to a close for them, but they've gone and won at Manchester United. I know Man United have got their eyes on the Europa League final, but it's a good win for them. And this is their last home game of the season. I think he's really going to want to get Graham Potter a home win, just because a lot of the fans are not that convinced by him. I just think there'll be a big motivation for West Ham to go and win this game. And I do think they're the likely winners. So I'm going to go with West Ham, draw no bet around evens.
Okay, well, there are two games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and we'll start off at the GTEC Community Stadium, where Brentford take on Fulham. The Bees are 9-10 to claim the 3 points. Fulham 27-10, and the draw 29-10. And we talked about teams who have been really struggling over the last few weeks. Certainly would be highlighted in Fulham's recent results, Dan, and they're going to look to take on a Brentford team who have won four on the bounce.
Yeah, and Brentford have got themselves into eighth place now, which is going to, they're going to get some form of European football. They're really responding well, kind of going a little bit under the radar, I think, as people focus on different parts of the table. But Thomas Frank's done an unbelievable job there, scored four goals in each of the last two home matches. I mean, up front, the threat they got there, they've got three players now into double figures. So everybody talks about, and Buomo and Visser, but Sharder now is up to 11. And I think Brentford are a solid enough bet here, odds on, to win the game. But I think arguably even better value, I'm going to go with Sharder any time at 21-10. He's in form at the moment. He's scored four goals in his last three appearances. And you're playing against an out-of-form Fulham side, lost four of the last five Premier League games, slipped into the bottom half. Now their European hopes look like they're kind of fizzling out. So Sharder to score any time for Brentford is my selection.
Tom, do you think Thomas Frank's one of those managers who doesn't get the credit he deserves? He's done a fantastic job there over a period of time at Brentford.
He probably doesn't, does he? And I'm not quite sure why that is. Is it slightly unglamorous, a club unglamorous coach? I don't know, because Brentford have been absolutely fantastic this season. And, we thought they were slightly tailing off, didn't we, a few weeks ago? But they've been in fantastic form, bouncing about four wins on the trot. They're unbeaten in six. And as Dan mentioned, that they score goals, that front three, absolutely superb. It's a solid starting 11 from Thomas Frank. And they deserve a lot of credit. If Brentford end up qualifying for Europe, that is an absolutely sensational achievement. Yeah. You'd argue Thomas Frank should be right up there as a manager of the season contender. I mean, Brentford and the other clubs in this battle to finish eighth will be rooting for Manchester City to win in the cup final on Saturday. If Palace win that, then it could make this one slightly less on it than it perhaps would. But I do think Brentford will win this game. They're in form. Fulham, as you mentioned, their season has now tailed off. They've all lost four of the last five. The only win during that time was a very nervous and last-minute one against Southampton. So for me, I don't often like to look at odds on bets, but Brentford, it's hard to look past them just winning this game.
Yeah, let's move on to the other 3 o'clock game now on Sunday. And it is two of the bottom three going head-to-head at the King Power Stadium. Leicester 13-10 to beat Ipswich, who are 2-1. And the draw is 5-2. Possibly the game that nobody wants to play, Tom, having already been relegated. But who could come out on top here? Are we going to see it level pegging?
you know, the battle to finish 18th for the best of the worst, if you like. I don't know. I mean, how much these two sides are really desperate to finish 18th rather than 19th, I'm not sure. Leicester in slightly better form, taking 4 points from their last two games. I stay clear, though, of looking for a winner in the match. Hard to trust either of these two sides. But one man who is reliable is Jamie Vardy, isn't he? And this will be his final match at the King Power. It's going to be his 500th appearance for the club, and he's chasing his 200th Leicester goal. So in your final home game, it seems fitting that Vardy might step up and score in this one. I mean, you know, he's netted in two of the three matches Leicester have played against the fellow relegated sides this season. Leicester have done well in those fixtures as well, drawing with Ipswich in the reverse match and taking 6 points off Southampton. He's the penalty taker, of course, Vardy. And, you know, you wouldn't put it beyond him stepping up, you know, in the 90th minute and scoring the winning goal for Leicester in this game. But it's just written in the stars, shall we say, that maybe he might have a big say in this match.
Might be in the script already, if that's the case. Dan, it's hard to make a judgment on these two where they are at the moment, but how do you see it going?
I'm going to tentatively go for Ipswich, draw no better odds against. I think long term they've got more to look forward to, I think, you know, going into next season than Leicester. The manager's probably going to, you know, still be in place. So Liam Delap will probably be on his way, but you would think the bulk of their team has been put together with kind of relegation, you know, at the back of the mind, if you like. I think Leicester, it's a bit more of a shock that they are where they are. They were always going to be up for that game at Nottingham Forest, weren't they, last week? And you know, put in a decent performance, got the 2-2 draw, which they kind of celebrated like a win. But, you know, they've been dreadful, haven't they, for large parts of the season. I think they've lost 9 of the last 10 Premier League home games. Ipswich do slightly better away from home than at home, or quite a bit better actually. 15 of their 22 points, you know, they've picked up on their travels. So tentatively I'll go with Ipswich on the draw no bet.
Okay, well, Sunday's late game is at 4:30, and it's at the Emirates where Arsenal take on Newcastle. Arsenal are 19-20 to collect the points here. Newcastle 27-10, and the draw can also be backed at 27-10. Interesting one this, Dan, because all of a sudden Arsenal aren't necessarily guaranteed a Champions League spot at the moment, with those hooves sounding behind them, and Newcastle are amongst one of those teams chasing them hard.
Yeah, I mean, from Arsenal's point of view, it will depend. I mean, this game's taking place after the Friday night game, so it's going to be, you know, depending on what Chelsea and Villa have done. I mean, Arsenal could be securing the top five by the time the game kicks off, or they might need a point still. You know, if they are securing the top five, they still need 4 points, you know, to finish second, which is going to be on their minds as well. A win against Newcastle would do it. A draw against Newcastle and a win, you know, in their last game would do it as well. I think they got Southampton in their last game as well, which is, you know, not a bad fixture to have.
Yeah.
But Newcastle, they've had three wins against Arsenal this season. Beat them home and away in the EFL Cup semi-finals. Beat them 1-0 at Newcastle in the league. You know, three clean sheets. So, and you know, they've done well in the last couple of months. They've got no Joe Linton here, which is a little, you know, makes them a little bit weaker in midfield. But I just think the resilience they've got, and Arsenal have kind of gone off the ball in the league, haven't they, last few months? I think four draws in the last six Premier League games. Every chance, I think, of another draw here. That's what I'm going to go with, the drawn game.
I just wonder, Tom, whether, as Dan says there, the fact that Newcastle have had that good record against Arsenal maybe plays on the mind a bit.
Yeah, quite possibly. I do kind of agree with Dan. I think a draw probably, it's fine for both teams. I mean, Arsenal, you'd expect them to beat Southampton on the final day, so that should give them a second spot if they draw this. And Newcastle, yeah, they want to finish second. They want to be best of the rest behind Liverpool, but getting in the Champions League, locking down that top five position is the priority for Eddie Howe's team, and a draw would certainly help that. I mean, Newcastle have been in fantastic form. They've won 8 of the last 10 across all competitions, but the two times they've failed to win during that one run have come in their last two away games. They were heavily beaten at Aston Villa, and then they drew away to Brighton. So it's going to be difficult for them to win this game. Arsenal, I think, no winning five across all competitions, but signs of improvement, particularly in the second half against Liverpool last weekend when they came from two goals down to draw 2-2. Yeah, I think sitting on the fence, a draw probably looks the sensible result. I think both sides will go for the victory, but then, you know, if there's 10 minutes to go, Are they going to settle for what they've got in that scenario if it's still level? So, yeah, I'm looking at the draw.
Yeah, a point certainly, as you say, helps both teams in their push for Champions League football. Tom briefly mentioned Brighton there, of course, drew with Newcastle recently, and they're in action on Monday evening. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff, and they play host to Liverpool, with Brighton 8-5 to claim the victory. The champions are 29-20, and the draw is 11-4. Hard to know what Liverpool's going to turn up at the moment, Tom, from what we've seen in the last couple of games since the title's been sealed. How do you see this one?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it really difficult to call exactly how his game is going to pan out in terms of a result. But I think it could be maybe the most entertaining game of the week. And I'm looking at over 3.5 goals. There's been at least 3 goals scored in the last 7 meetings between these two sides. And on 3 occasions, there's been 4 or more goals scored. We know Brighton are a front foot team that create chances. They don't always take them, but they are really easy on the eye and good going forward and carving out opportunities. Liverpool, since the title's been wrapped up, even when they wrapped up the title, they scored 5 against Tottenham. Then they lose at Chelsea, conceding a few goals, and then that 2-2 with Arsenal last weekend. I think they've reached that stage. They've got nothing really to play for. They're enjoying themselves now as the champions, and when that happens, you know, they're wanting to go forward, everyone's wanting to get in on the act, but maybe they're not quite as switched on defensively as they have been for the majority of the campaign. So hopefully it's a Monday night entertaining game. I can't call it in terms of the result, but let's go for goals.
Tom says they've been enjoying themselves. Arne Slot's been caught on video in Ibiza over the last week or so. So that argument about being on the beach on occasions may well have come to fruition, but certainly in terms of this game, Dan, I mean, as you say, Liverpool likely to probably make some more changes again as they did against Arsenal.
Yeah, it's understandable, isn't it? They've done fantastically well to get into this position by winning the title with, you know, several games and weeks before the end of the season. And they probably are knocking off a little bit. It smacks of a loss of focus. The Chelsea, they didn't match Chelsea's intensity and, you know, lost that game, didn't they, 3-1. And then at home to Arsenal, because you're in front of a home crowd, you got a reaction. And then they kind of lost focus again, didn't they, and squandered a 2-0 lead. I don't see that kind of focus returning, really, beyond the end of the season. Certainly not in an away game. Brighton, that was a big result for them to win 2-0 away to Wolves. Keeps them right in the hunt to maybe nick a European spot. They're level on points with Brentford, who we mentioned earlier. And Mitoma came off the bench in that game against Wolves, so it looks like he's fit again. João Pedro's now free from suspension after serving a 3-game ban. So that's 2 potential massive improvements to Brighton's forward line. They're going to be more intense. They're strengthened, as I mentioned, up front. I think they'll get the win. Brighton to win for me.
OK, well, that is the Premier League wrapped up for this week. Next up, we'll look at the League Two playoff second legs, and the guys will give us their best bets for the weekend.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So as promised, now time to look at the EFL. It is the League Two playoff semi-final second legs on Friday and Saturday. Still plenty to play for. On Friday, Walsall play host to Chesterfield with a 2-0 lead from the first leg at Chesterfield. Walsall 11-8 to get the victory here. The Spireites are 15-8 and then 12-5 the draw. And Dan, we've got to firstly say, hats off to Walsall, because to lose in such a way that they did, the automatic promotion spot on the final day in that dramatic circumstance, having lost that, I think it was 17 points at one stage, that lead at the top as well, and then to come back and win the first leg 2-0, as I say, it shows great character.
Yeah, I mean, they were 12 points clear. After 25 games, they were 12 points clear at the top, 15-point cushion to fourth place. So, you know, to lose that. And in the manner that, as you say, that it happened, when they finally won a game, first win, I think, in 15 games on the last day of the season, where did they win? Away to...
Away
to Crewe, the 1-0. And then they got done, didn't they, by the late Bradford goal against Fleetwood. So, you know, hugely disappointing. I've got to be honest, I didn't really see them recovering. And then to go to Chesterfield, which is not an easy place to go. Chesterfield, only 3 home defeats in the league. Big crowd, tough plate venue to go and get a result. And they did it. They started great in the first half. Were 2-0 up at half-time. saw the game out. I just think that they may end up looking back on this as the turning point in their season. I don't see them now letting this go. Playing, you know, home game, only need, you know, could lose by a single goal and still go through. I could see a draw here. I think a draw looks quite overpriced. Chesterfield finished the season with 6 games without a defeat, but they have had a lot of injuries through the season. Some key players been missing. Armando Dobro is a big player. He did come off the bench last weekend in the first leg, so maybe he'll be ready to start. But I just think that to recover away from home, a 2-0 deficit, going to be too much for him. So draw for me, and Walsall to get through to the final.
Yeah, I mean, Walsall have been struggling for goals, Tom, over recent months, but they have been pretty solid at the back. Are they going to see this out?
I'm not so sure, you know. I've got a sneaky suspicion we could be in for a very entertaining and even long evening on Friday. I mean, we've mentioned, you know, Walsall well clear in January. Looked like they were going to win the title, never mind secure automatic promotion. That lead disappears. They then look like they're going to go up on the final day before that late Bradford goal breaks their heart. So they're still going to have scars from that second half of the season. And for me, if Chesterfield can get the first goal, they're going to be on the front foot. They have to go for it, the visitors. So if they get the first goal, which is my bet at 5-4 for Chesterfield to score first, then those Walsall nerves are going to be jangling. The crowd, they're going to be so, so anxious. I mean, Chesterfield had 74% of the possession in the first leg. They had 30 touches in Walsall's box compared to 14 at the other end. So Walsall did well. They really surprised me getting that 2-0 win in the first leg. But the statistics suggest maybe it was a fortuitous victory, certainly by the 2-goal margin. So I think Chesterfield can set this up really nicely by scoring the first goal on the night. And if you look at the qualify market, Chesterfield are 9-1. That's a really juicy price for me. If they get one, I think they are getting two. So it's going to be a very, very interesting evening. The first goal is going to be pivotal, but I'm going for Chesterfield to get it.
Okay, well, it's an 8:00 kickoff on Friday night, and certainly no thoughts of it being a dead rubber with that 2-0 lead for Walsall. And the second of the semi-finals, of course, in League Two sees Wimbledon up against Notts County on Saturday. It's a 12:30 kickoff, and AFC Wimbledon 1-0 up from the first leg at Meadow Lane. Wimbledon are 5-4 to win the second leg. It's 11-5 Notts County, and the draw is 11-5. It's fair to say this was a bit of a spicy first leg, Dan. There was a sending off, a bit of controversy along the way. How do you think the second leg is going to go?
Yeah, it all kicked off, didn't it, towards the end with the Yatta won the ball, didn't he, with that lunging tackle, but was red carded. And then after the game as well, McGoldrick, the other big, big goal player from key goal scorer, he was limping heavily as well, wasn't he, you know, after the final whistle. So he couldn't have had a worse finish to the game, really, for Notts County. It made me laugh as well, Wimbledon, towards the end. They were 1-0 up and Notts County were kind of struggling. Wimbledon got a corner. You know, but bearing in mind it's a two-legged tie, and I kind of just went short of it. Didn't even put it into the box, which I was a bit surprised at. But I think they were happy enough to get the 1-0 win away from home. I think they'll win again at home. To not have Yatta and McGoldrick, they're just two huge players who are responsible for 36 goals between them. That's over half of Notts County's tally for the season. Notts County are better defensively than they were last season when they conceded the most in the league. But Wimbledon have got the best defence in League Two. That's a great platform to have when you're leading the tie 1-0. I can see them getting another clean sheet and maybe scoring again as well. So Wimbledon to win the tie odds against. Sorry, to win the second leg as well for me, odds against.
How about you, Tom? How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I mean, Wimbledon did a number on Notts County in the first leg. I'm not as confident as Dan that they'll win this return match, but they'll certainly try and keep things tight. I've gone for under 2.5 goals and both teams to score no, which is odds against. As Dan mentioned, there's no Yatta for Notts County. McGoldrick may not feature, may not be that fit, and that is so many goals. It's such a big gap for Notts County to try and plug against League Two's meanest defence. 35 goals conceded over the regular season, another clean sheet at the weekend in the first leg. When the two sides met earlier in the season, this fixture, this home game for Wimbledon, they won at 2-0. That was in March. And the last three meetings between the sides have gone under 2.5 goals. So Wimbledon were the lowest scorers in the top nine. So they don't score that many themselves, certainly away from Matty Stevens. They, you know, they don't need to score in this game. If they're offered a 0-0, they'd bite your hand off right now. So, yeah, I think it might be a tight, tense, low-scoring game, not featuring many goals. Maybe that'll be enough for Wimbledon to edge through.
Okay, should be an interesting couple of semi-finals in the League Two playoffs. We're going to now turn our attentions to the best bets for the weekend, starting off with Tom's Bet Builder. So, Tom, I think we're looking at the FA Cup final, aren't we? Crystal Palace against Manchester City.
Yeah, I thought I'd focus on the big game of the weekend. And as we mentioned earlier, it hopefully will be a pretty entertaining match where both sides contribute to the attacking play. The first selection I've gone for is Ebrecce Eze to score or assist for Crystal Palace. He's been in fantastic form all season, really. He's got 23 goal involvements across all competitions. That's from 40 appearances, and he scored 5 goals in his last 4 games. So he's really hit a hot streak. He's a wonderful player to watch. So elegant the way he carries the ball. He's got the eye for the spectacular, and he's a real source of creativity for Palace alongside Mateta and Sarr in the final third. If Palace are to go on and win this cup final, you fancy Eze is going to have a big say on proceedings, and I certainly fancy him to score or assist in this game, which takes us on to my second selection. We mentioned it earlier on. I think both teams will score in the match. Palace have netted in 22 of their last 24 matches, as I mentioned earlier on. We know all about the attacking talents that City have. Erling Haaland has got that 90 minutes under his belt last weekend, and they'll be keen to bounce back from what was a very under-par attacking display from City against Southampton. And the third selection, I'm going for Haaland to have 2 or more shots on target in the game. He tends to have plenty of shots alongside Mo Salah. He's had the joint most shots on target in the Premier League this season, 58. That's just from 29 appearances for him because of the recent injury layoff. He played 7 less games than Salah, but matched the tally of the league's leading scorers. So, yeah, a couple of shots on target for Erling Haaland to round off this Bet Builder, which comes in at odds of around 11-2.
Yeah, just to remind you then of Tom's selections, Ebrecce Eze to score or assist, both teams to score, and Erling Haaland to have 2 or more shots on target. Dan's going to take charge of the prop shop this week, and Dan, I think you're going to start off also with a selection in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ismail Sarr to score any time. I think around about 7-2. I just think that's a huge price. I remember when Palace signed him, probably one of the signings of the last summer, actually. It's about £12.5 million. There's a lot of kind of panic going on about Palace losing Elise to Bayern Munich, and how are we going to replace him? And I kind of thought to myself at the time, I mean, my son's a Watford, me and my son go to Watford regular, and we'd seen him at close quarters at Watford and seen what a top player he was, how much potential he had, the pace, and he's got very good game intelligence as well. And he's, yeah. He's absolutely flourished at Crystal Palace. He's into double figures, goals in all competitions. Showed he was a big game player in the FA Cup semi-final against Aston Villa with 2 goals and an assist. How he didn't get the man of the match award in that game, you know, God only knows. I mean, Eze scored a great goal, but 2 goals and an assist for Sarr, and you don't get man of the match. But no, I think he'll have a big impact on this game. Manchester City, as we know, like to squeeze out the pitch and can leave space in behind. Sarr has got that pace that could potentially punish them, and every chance I think he could score any time.
And your other prop shot is for the game at the Emirates, Arsenal against Newcastle.
Yeah, going to go with, I mentioned earlier about Joe Linton being out for Newcastle, and he's a bit of a midfield enforcer for them. The only player that's actually committed more fouls than him for Newcastle this season is Bruno Guimaraes, 59 fouls to 58. So they're having a close battle there on who can do the most fouls. But Bruno Guimaraes has had 3 bookings in his last 5 games. And this is a match, you know, Arsenal are going to, as a home side, the onus is going to be on them to push forward. The Newcastle are going to need to break up the play. Bruno Guimaraes, there's going to be a big emphasis on him without Joe Linton being there to do a lot of that dirty work, if you like, in midfield. His price to be booked, I thought, looked quite big, 15-8, especially considering he's been booked, as I said, 3 times in the last 5 games. So Bruno to be booked.
You know, back in the day, we used to talk about silky Brazilians with their skills. Now we're talking about enforcers in the middle of the pitch. But yeah, Bruno Guimarães then to be booked in that game against Arsenal is the second of Dan's prop shop tips. And we're going to turn our attentions now to the assist treble, where one pick from all three of us will be suggested for the weekend. Tom, we'll start with your selection.
Yeah, I've gone for one of the Friday night games and Villa to beat Spurs and under 3.5 goals in the match. It is very difficult now and impossible for me to envisage anything other than an Aston Villa victory. They've been grinding it out over recent weeks. Spurs, underwhelming, low-key performances in the Premier League from them. So, yeah, a low-scoring Aston Villa victory is my treble selection.
What about yours, Dan? What's your treble pick?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that Brentford, that they were a decent bet odds on at home to Fulham, even though I went with Sade as the individual tip. I'm going to stick Brentford in the treble. I mean, you know, winning 4-4 on the trot, lots and lots of confidence. The opposite for kind of Fulham, losing 4 out of 5 at a key stage of the season. That was a big blow to them, I think, that Everton game. Went into it really needing to win to stay in touch in the race for European qualification. So Brentford to win this one.
Yeah, I have to say I was fully in with Dan on Brentford. I went down a different route because I quite fancy Ipswich double chance at Leicester. They've lost just one of the last four on the road, Ipswich, and that includes draws at Chelsea and Everton and a win at Bournemouth as well. And as Dan mentioned earlier on, the vast majority of their points have come on the road this season, and I think they can probably take advantage of a Leicester side who certainly look fatigued and look down in the dumps after their relegation. And I think Ipswich double chance could be the way to go here for the assist treble. And we'll end this week's show with the naps from both Dan and Tom. Tom, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one of the three of us that might be a little bit more positive on Leicester this weekend. But I've looked to them for the nap, and it's maybe just me being a little bit sentimental, but I've gone for Jamie Vardy to score any time at odds against. You know, it's written in the stars for him to score a goal. It might end in an Ipswich victory, but Vardy to get on the score sheet.
And Dan, what's your nap of the weekend?
West Ham draw no bet at home to Nottingham Forest. I do think it's important for Graham Potter to kick on from that win at Manchester United and get a win in their last home game of the season. In front of, you know, you get 60,000 people turning up there every week. They're going to want to see a win in the last home game. And Forest, I think, are there for the taking at the moment after that demoralising 2-2 draw against Leicester.
Okay, well, big thanks to both Dan and Tom for their efforts on this week's assist. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, of course, just a quick reminder that the sweet spot is every Tuesday with Steve Palmer, who's on another hot run of form at the moment. Hopefully that continues over the next few weeks. And we'll also have another video for you to look forward to on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Finals Fever, where we look ahead to all of the three European finals, the Champions League, Europa League and the Europa Conference League as well. That'll be out at 6 p.m. on Sunday, and SBK will be running a 50% bet builder boost on all of the upcoming finals, the FA Cup, the Champions League, Europa League and Conference League. Maximum stakes and terms and conditions apply, and they'll also be updating their welcome offer to bet £10 and get £40. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.